our development director at 713-526-4000 to inquire about our sustainer program. Make a difference today. This is KPFT Houston.
You are listening to 90.1 FM KPFT Houston.
Listeners should be aware that the following program contains language and audio images which may be found disturbing and may not be suitable for your snotty-nosed little brat who probably cusses like a sailor behind your back anyway. Parental discretion is advised.
And welcome to this 4th of July edition of Technology Bites, 90.1 FM KPFT Houston.
I'm proud to be an American. Welcome to Technology Bites, I'm Jay Lee.
He's not here.
He's not?
Where at least I know I'm free. I'm afflicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Dwight. And he's...
Groovehouse.
All right, well, it's the 4th of July, so happy Independence Day. I felt like I should... You know, go all my British Facebook friends and post on their walls, neener, neener, or something. All right, well, it should be an interesting show tonight because God knows everybody's off doing 4th of July stuff.
Right? And we have fireworks in the studio.
Yes. Roman candles. Look. Yeah, so visit us online at geekradio.com. You can also hang out in the IRC with us, irc.cuckoo.com, in the channel Tech Bites. You can also just go to the website and click on the IRC link there to join in the IRC fun. That was an interesting noise. So we're working on getting Pete on with us. I think he's going to be with us tonight. At least that's what I thought. So we shall see. He might be tending to the barbecue or something. Dwight, you're lost in your new phone.
I am.
Can you share out some bandwidth, really Dwight? Cool. I'm seeing no Wi-Fi.
No Wi-Fi at all?
Yeah, do you have any...
Well, here, I see it. I got it.
This has a hotspot feature on it, and it's active.
What is that?
What is it, yeah?
This is a Samsung Galaxy S3, which will go on sale, I think, Friday from AT&T. This is the AT&T model.
It's not being stopped by lawsuits?
No, this one not yet. They haven't found a way to stop this one. And it's a, can I say bitchin'? It's a bitchin' phone.
Legally, yes. Stylistically, I'm not too sure.
You could say it if you were in California.
Yes.
Which we are.
Pretend we're in California because this is a bitchin' phone.
Bitchin'.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's really fast. It's got a beautiful screen. It's light and thin. It has that Samsung plasticky feel to it, but it supposedly is polycarbonate. And I could do this one.
It's a Gorilla Glass on the front.
It's Gorilla Glass.
Gorilla Glass. It's
He's already been celebrating.
Pass the phone, dude. Don't Bogart the phone.
The camera is awesome. The
how awesome is the camera?
8 megapixels.
Totally. Wow.
It's so awesome.
Totally camera. Awesome.
Yeah.
Three on the front, or how much on the front?
Three on the front.
Three on the tree.
I've got a couple of three on the trees.
So I'm digging it. It does have a replaceable battery, HTC. Big phones, the new HTC ones don't have replaceable.
I like the replaceable battery.
Have you popped the back off yet? Does it feel like it? Does the back gonna? Is it gonna break every time you peel it off?
It is not a spectacularly solid back, but it the back is also the same polycarbonate.
Oh, that's like my existing. Oh, that's a giant battery.
It's a huge battery.
And is that a dual core or quad core?
Dual core in the U.S., quad core overseas.
Why?
Happy 4th of July.
I'm not. Well, I think it has to do with the LTE. I think they can't make. It's an Exynos processor overseas, and they can't make it work with the U.S. version of LTE. So that's why. So yeah, let me fire this up, and I'll give you guys some. In fact, the LTE, we're getting about 20 to 25 megabits down with this. So we'll turn this on and get it rocking.
All right. So, still working on the... Are we working on this or no? What's going on?
If my phone were making a sound right now, it'd be going... and it doesn't want to wake up.
Your computer? Your laptop?
Yeah. Your phone?
Sorry, my computer.
His MacBook.
My MacBook Air just had to reboot it because it wasn't seeing anything. So,
is it working now?
Let's hope.
All right, well, we're working to get Peter on the show, and...
There's the password, guys, if you want.
Oh, yeah, is it going to be one of those ridiculous... I'm fine. I'm on the wireless, so it's fine. We're doing okay. So, the phone number, if you want to participate in the show, we will be taking calls a little bit later on. Oh, lordy, lordy, I left my power supply at home. Okay, 43% battery. I wonder if that'll get me through 2 hours of show. All right, so, phone number, if you want to participate in tonight's program, is 713-526-5738 or 713-526-KPFT. We are working on getting Peter Hughes in from San Antonio via the Skypes. Not sure what's going on.
Well, I see Flicted's screen is black at the moment.
Flicted's laptop, which he uses to connect to the Skypes, is apparently giving him a problem.
Do we use the same power adapter?
Yes.
Okay. I've only got like 20%, but we
okay.
Can, we
if
can
it looks like I'm getting
I'm
in a battle
too, so I only had 4% when I walked in here today. So
Dwight wins.
All right, but we will if we can't get this to go for the news here soon, we'll probably go to the calls. But we know it's going to be an interesting day because we know a lot of you had the day off and may not be tuning in today because you're doing other 4th of July related things. It was like an all American moment when I went out of the house today to get in the car and drive over here and I could smell barbecue. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Everywhere I went today.
You smell it.
You know, and I think that's like the first time I've really noticed it in a number of years. And it was just, you know, all over the place on the street. The neighbors were just cooking it up. So, you know, good stuff. All right. So, I'm not really sure what's going on in there. I think Flicked's still trying to get his computer to boot up.
Yeah, he's still booting.
Yeah.
Have you heard from
me? I gave up and rebooted.
Gave up and rebooted? All right, well, in the interest of having a show of any kind today, we'll just probably go ahead and take the first call and just move forward. We'll do the news when we get Pete lined up. All right, Groove House?
Yes.
Do we have somebody in the queue that wants to talk to us?
We do have someone in the queue.
All right, well, who is it and what do they want?
All right, first up on the 4th of July show, we're going to talk to Gary.
Gary, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hello, I have two very simple and primitive questions.
Okay.
Number one, the difference between Wi-Fi and wireless. I understand that Wi-Fi is a combination of conductors and air. And wireless is a completely, you know.
Well, Wi-Fi, the Wi.
I mean, what does that have to do? How does that relate to people in the country?
Well,
out in the sticks, that you know, how do we know which we have?
Well, you don't have anything unless you buy it. So the Y in Wi-Fi is wireless, means wireless.
Wireless fidelity.
Yes, it's kind of like
fidelity. Well, there's the secret word. Okay, but it is partially cable and partially airborne.
No, Wi-Fi is simply the ability to connect to a data network wirelessly.
All right. Well, let me get to the bottom of this. I have a friend up in New York that's crazy about his iPhone, and he's trying to talk me into getting one. And I said, well, I'm out here in the sticks outside of Houston, Texas, in the woods. And all I can get is a dial-up connection.
All right, let me stop you right. Okay, hey, let me stop you right there. I think I know where you're going. I want to make sure that we're clear on two different things. When you get internet to your house, you can do that usually through DSL or cable.
But they don't have it out here. That's the point.
Right, but when you're talking about cellular broadband or cellular phones, they use the cellular network to get data.
So that would work on an iPhone.
That's what the iPhone uses. It has two different ways of connecting. One, it can connect to Wi-Fi if you have a Wi-Fi access point connected to your home internet. But if you don't have that, then that's not going to be a concern. And it can also connect to the cellular network and give you data that way.
So keep in mind, I don't have a cell phone. I've never had a cell phone. But there's a cell phone tower about a quarter of a mile from my house. Will that work for an iPhone, or am I stuck with the same signal quality? I mean, why am I getting dial-up on a $3,000 tower computer, and I can get free signal on a $200 iPhone?
Well, because the iPhone uses a different technology than your computer uses to get online.
So it might actually work out.
It might actually work. I would check. You can check with AT&T or Verizon or Sprint.
AT&T who? Okay.
Check with the provider that you're going to buy the phone from and see what the coverage is like in your area.
And check with your friends. I'm sure you have friends in the area who probably have cell phones. See what carrier they have and what kind of quality of signal they have.
Okay, so, I mean, well, we're not talking cell phones. We're talking all the abilities that I have on my computer in the house.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. The phone is going to have its own set of applications and things that it does. It will browse the web. It will let you send and receive email. But it's not like having a computer online. It's a phone that's online.
But I understand these phones are faster than the old-timey computers.
Well, they're faster than some of the older computers, certainly.
They have more data and more apps and more opportunities.
Well, right? One thing you can do, I don't know how far in the sticks you are, but if you wanted to make the drive into town at some point, you could actually go to an Apple store and get your hands on an iPhone and actually go to the Genius Bar, and they'll walk you through and show you what the different applications do and kind of, you know, give you the breakdown of what an iPhone can do. And if you're looking for a desktop replacement, you might even, you know, if it's in your budget, you might even want to look at like an iPad or something like that, which is just a really big iPhone. You know, but
well,
a lot more.
I'm ready for an upgrade. I just don't want to buy something that doesn't work out here, you know?
Well, I would say that, like Dwight mentioned, if you know of anybody in your area that has a smartphone that is data enabled, see what, and especially with AT&T, since you're near that AT&T tower, see what kind of performance they're getting with their devices. And as Barrett mentioned, an iPad might be a thing to consider. Now, keep in mind too that the data caps, you know, they limit the amount of data that you can use. You pay for all the data that you use on one of these phones. So if you're looking at this as a full-time browse the web for 10, 12 hours at a time and that sort of thing, it may not be a suitable.
No, I'm an intermittent user. Now, if I had an iPad, is it possible to download my documents onto that device?
Yeah.
Books and all my data and all my documents.
I don't know what all that entails for you personally. You can view documents, you can view PDF files, and
but can I save them there and deep six my old Dell?
I don't know that you're going to want to deep six your personal computer in favor of having an iPad. I would say...
I knew it.
Get it? Well, the iPad is not a computer replacement. The iPad and the iPhone are, you know, they have...
They're like toys. Yeah,
no, they're their own thing.
They're not toys, but they are their own thing. They do what they do. And you have to understand what it is that they're going to do. And unfortunately, sometimes thinking about this sort of thing in the abstract is not going to get you as far as actually putting your hands on one and seeing what it does.
If you want to go
really
like...
basically a supplement to your basic...
An old-school way to think about it was if, like, your workstation, your Dell that you've got now, that's a full-blown desk, like a roll-top desk with everything you could possibly want.
Yep,
the iPad's going to be a yellow pad.
Yeah, it's going to...
So, you know, reduce... You can do some of the same things.
A day planner.
It's going to be hard. Day planner. Maybe
right.
A day book. But it's going to be a little takeaway thing. You're not going to have all the niceties of a full desk, but it'll get you by. You can do certain things on it. Most people have both. Because, you know,
yeah.
There are going to be times when you want a desk, times when you just want, the pad.
And
so.
If you're, as you learn about it and you learn to do more things with it, you'll find that you could do more of the functions that you could do on your full desktop. For example, you talked about your documents. You can email those to yourself and then pick them up in the email on those on the iPad or the iPhone and then view them that way. But as you become more savvy, you'll learn about services like Dropbox.
Google Docs, even.
Or Google Docs, where you can upload your documents to a server online and then pull them down through the iPad or the iPhone. So as you gain more knowledge about what you're doing, you'll learn that it has more and more capabilities. But in terms of, like, just starting out at the level you're at, I think you'd be fine with it. But it is its
own
thing.
Well, you're talking about the cloud, but, you know, if you have a... computer that has enough. I got my computer to have sufficient memory for AutoCAD and various other programs, but all I've done is save my books. The point is, you're taking coals to Newcastle. I mean, if your computer does everything that you need it to do, why would anyone need an iPad? You can't live without an iPhone, and I said, there's nothing you can do on
Gary,
an iPhone.
Gary.
I can't do on my computer.
Gary.
Is that true?
Gary. You need to let us have an opportunity to interact with you.
You have been interacting for 20 minutes. It's my turn.
Seven minutes, 53.
Yeah, I'll show you whose turn it is. All right. If you know...
God bless America.
Fireworks. Fireworks now. Technology buds.
You know, I mean, I don't really want to necessarily get in the middle of an argument you're having with your friend from New York City. But, you know, if you don't need it, you don't need it. You know, if that was the thing that I struggled with the iPad and even smartphones. It's like, is this going to enhance my life? Is this going to make if you're doing CAD and writing books and stuff, and you got a desktop computer and you don't need anything else, that's great. You know, just because somebody tells you that you have to have this thing, that's consumer peer pressure. You don't have to have anything. You have to be able to look at what's available on the market and make a determination as to whether or not you need that thing or not, if that thing is going to bring you any joy or any enhancements to your life.
If all you ever do is sit at your home and sit in front of your computer and you don't go out much and you don't need computing power or you don't need to talk to the internet in other locations besides your house, then an iPhone, an iPad won't be that compelling to you. But the other thing is once you get one of these devices, they tend to change what you do. They affect what you
do.
And you don't know that until you actually have it.
Right, but I would not buy an iPhone or I wouldn't buy anything because somebody told me, you have to have this thing. Just go out and buy it because I have one and I know better than you. You need to have it. I try to make informed decisions on what I buy, and I go and buy something because it's something I've evaluated and I've determined is going to bring joy. Or
so what you're saying is these things are toys.
Yes, basically I'm saying they're toys, and they're faster on the internet.
And it can't replace my desktop.
Unless you live in the woods.
I knew it.
I'm super confused. So you're saying just because technology comes out, we don't have to buy it?
I will go on the record as saying that that is absolutely true.
Whoa.
Wow.
That blows my mind.
Pass the phone. Now, the one thing that, you know, he kind of hinted on or touched upon during the conversation is that he does only have, apparently, dial-up access where he lives. His internet access is limited to some...
And that's his experience with the internet, is dial-up, which is a very, very different experience when you have broadband.
Especially now. And he very well may not have 3G in that area either, even like
with a phone.
Well,
if he sees a tower... He probably does have to.
So he can see
a tower.
So something he may want to consider or look into is the idea of getting... I don't know if Clear is out there or any of the other wireless...
Probably not.
But Android, a lot of the Android, I think it's easier to tether off Android than
except
off
for the
iPhone.
Data caps. It gets... Yeah. You've got to be careful.
But how much data can he be using off dial-up? I mean, there's no way he's getting...
Well, again, your behavior changes. Yeah.
Once you open up the pipe, once you've drunk from the fire hose...
Once you've gone into the series of tubes.
the other thing is Android is, I think, requires a higher level of computing savvy than he clearly has. So,
well, let's get his friend in New York to call him and tell him he needs an Android.
That'll blow his mind. Windows phone. He needs a Windows phone.
All right. Do we have any luck with the Skypes? Yeah. Pete, you there? Flicted was nodding at me.
He was, but...
I see Pete on Flicted's AirBook.
No? We got nothing.
We're Pete free. You know one thing we didn't talk about?
Oh, the Geek Gathering.
The Geek Gathering.
17 years?
17-year birthday, kind of. You know, it's going to be... it's not necessarily done as a party, but it's going to be a party, I guess, because a lot of people are coming out. But it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. The Facebook invite has a lot of people confirmed that they're showing up.
It's 7:30 on Friday at Aperture, which is the old Coffee Grounds location at Bagby and McGowan in Midtown. And, yeah, there's a lot of people who have confirmed on Facebook. So this should be a pretty good gathering, I think.
Yeah. So.
And also, you know, we have been named the best meetup.
Yes, we won an award.
The entire world.
But, yeah, Groovehouse Inflicted came out to the award ceremony at, what was the name of that place, Groovehouse?
House of Darion.
House of Darion. It was a pretty swank little place.
It's, like, owned by Beyonce or something.
The Knowles family owns it.
Yes.
So it's a kind of a...
It's a media center is what they call it, and it's a room where you can have events.
Pretty much a warehouse... Oh, like a open format warehouse, 2-story with,
but it's not rustic or anything
ceilings.
Like that.
No, it's very modern and minimalist and like a club sort of.
Was Jay-Z there?
No, but Bun B was.
Bun B was there. And what's his name from the Texans?
Connor Barwin
was there. Yeah. So we received our award, and I don't know if you saw the picture of it. It's on the. On the Facebook page, but I thought it was pretty cool. I think the award was more appropriate for us than any of the other recipients, it being a floppy disk.
Do we want to get a bunch more awards? Because I've got a bunch of old floppies I could spray paint silver.
Yes, I would like the best gathering in the world.
Spread them around.
We should just start forging our own Houston Press awards. This one would be an easy one to impersonate, actually. So, yeah, we could come up with... best goatee and give that to Groovehouse.
Give out our own awards and just give them to us.
The Technology Bites Awards. Yeah, we're proud recipients of our own award that we created and give out. That'd be awesome.
You should bring the award Friday to the Geek Gathering.
I'll try to remember to do that.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's the Geek Gathering.
Maybe they'll hang it at Aperture.
Yeah.
We'd have to guard that.
We can't lose that.
I emailed them and asked if they'd gotten their liquor license yet, if they'll have beer and wine for sale yet. They will not, but they are no longer charging for setups.
Did they kind of indicate to them that we might be having a rather good turnout?
I did not say that, but they are aware of they're very aware of the Geek Gathering, so I suspect they know. We should let them know.
Should let them know. It looks like it's going to be more well attended than ones.
You should call them and tell them that we're going to have Commodore 64 gear there, just in case they need.
They
that
might
out.
Close if we tell them. We'll have Commodore 64 gear. And
do you have the TV adapter and the? And the power brick?
I do. I have to find it somewhere.
Somebody brought us a Commodore 64.
Oh, cool. Because I've got a Plus 4, which is a Commodore 64 with the 4 built-in programs.
Right,
spreadsheet.
Yeah.
Where I've got one of those. And I've got a TI-99/4A.
Bring it.
Bring it. If he's riding his bike, he's not going to bring it. Well, he might not be riding his bike.
I wish I had my Commodore 128. We could have a trifecta.
Yeah. Anyway, it's
going to
be...
We need a VIC-20, though.
It's going to be a... I got a VIC-20 manual. I don't know...
We can reverse engineer it from that. All right.
Well, I don't know if this is... Is it Commodore 64 is not the same thing as a VIC-20?
No, it's the big brother. The VIC-20 was the predecessor. It was just 20K, and then the Commodore 64 had 64K. Or was it 64? Yeah, K.
Right. And the VIC-20 was kind of a like a manila, whitish color with like dark, like camel beige keys. And then the Commodore was camel beige with like dark brown, almost black keys.
Right. That's in the trunk. And the 128 ran Commodore 64, a native 128 operating system, and CPM. I used to write my stories for the San Antonio Current on this on WordStar on the CPM.
I remember the Current.
Yeah.
So any luck with the Skypes?
I've messaged him and told him that he was live and that we couldn't hear him. And then I messaged him and asked him if he's actually... trying, because I don't know why it wouldn't be working. I haven't gotten a response.
He's in despair.
713-526-5... I think Pete's going to actually be there.
Yes, Pete.
713-526-5738.
Yes.
So Pete and his wife will be at the Geek Gathering. So we should have the ultimate trifecta by having everybody there, because I think Groovehouse is actually a yes.
Yes, he is a yes instead of just a maybe.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get my lovely wife to come, but she's like... resistant.
Well, Cynthia's coming, and there are going to be Star Wars cupcakes.
Yes.
Awesome.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Awesome. Homemade. Cynthia's made them today.
The Boba Fett cupcake.
Then we got the villain set and the hero set. So
I don't think there was a Boba Fett. I didn't see one.
I don't think there's a Boba Fett, but
still,
there's a Darth Vader.
There was Darth Vader and Stormtrooper. Darth Vader and Stormtroopers.
Yeah.
And then the other side was... I don't know who it was. Luke Skywalker.
Luke Skywalker, Yoda. Hey!
Oh, and there goes Pete.
So he hung up on us. We actually...
we heard the hangout. So, Barrett, what's your favorite email application for Android?
I'm pretty boring. I just use the built-in, and then I use Gmail. I use the built-in native app for workmail, and then the Gmail app for Gmail. Huh.
All right. Well, we've got another call in the queue, but if you want to be on the air with us tonight, 713-526-5738. We're having no luck with the Skypes. It's a 4th of July plot.
Conspiracy.
That the Independence Day aliens have hovered over Peter's house and zorched him.
They blew up Houston in the ID4 movie.
Yes.
Independence Day. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's foretelling. It's all connected.
I think the only thing that Houston got was a green street sign. I don't even know if that was actually in Houston.
Yeah, I think that was the 45, looking up 45, down by U of H. It was
really?
A legitimate shot. It's probably stock photography that they got from the web without asking permission for it. But it was definitely a Houston.
Bastards.
All right, 713-526-5738, Groovehouse.
Yes.
Who do we have up?
All right, up next on the 4th of July show, we're going to take Chris.
Chris, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Yeah, can y'all hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, hey, I run AVG 2012's Firewall paid for edition, and I also run Hitman Pro paid for edition, and Malwarebytes the free one, because that's what you guys recommend on your page. But I picked up some spyware that I cannot get rid of. When I run Hitman Pro, it doesn't show up on AVG, but when I run Hitman Pro, every single time I turn my computer on, that when it's done, it doesn't identify it as malicious. I'm not sure if it's remnants or what, but a list of like 16 different types of spyware, like AdBright and all kinds of other things come up, but they all end in SQLite, and it'll take them away, and then next time I run it, they're back again.
It shows up as...
Yeah, SQLite, it's a really, really super lightweight database package that you can use for good things, but sometimes attackers, to be able to keep all the data together, they'll actually install that and make that part of like a rootkit or make it part of a malicious package. It can also be if you've installed some different kind of stuff from the web, it can be kind of benign too. It's just a database program that's running on the back end. The question is, how did it get there and what's it doing?
What you might try doing is try running Hitman Pro in safe mode.
Oh, okay.
Well, Hitman Pro is not even detecting it, right?
No, it's showing up.
Is it Hitman Pro that finds it, or is it Malwarebytes that finds it?
No, it's Hitman Pro.
Okay.
Malwarebytes and AVG never find it. And Hitman Pro doesn't identify it as malicious, but it's still suspicious. A whole list of spyware remnants or whatever they are show up every time.
Well, another thing to try sometimes, you know, is sometimes these programs don't. I mean, Hitman Pro has usually been really, really good for me, but if it's not picking it up, as Dwight said, you might run it in safe mode. But there's another program called Combo Fix.
Right, I've heard about that, but I heard you really need to know what you're doing, or you can screw your computer.
Not really. If you go to bleepingcomputer.com and they have, if you Google search bleeping computer combo fix, they have a tutorial on it.
Okay.
It's not that hard. It's actually, you'll need to disable your antivirus program to run it, but it's all actually right. Very good, and it's not dangerous.
No, yeah, I've had somebody recommend that to me as well, and I found that on Google search. But someone mentioned to me something about something within Malwarebytes called Chameleon. Do you know anything about that?
No.
No? Okay, maybe this guy might not know what he's talking about.
Well, I mean, he might. I haven't paid that much attention to Malwarebytes in terms of any of the deeper things that might be in there. It might very well be a part of it, but, you know, typically right. When I use Malwarebytes, I just use the front-end scanner and have had good luck with that.
One thing you may want to do, just in case it's, you know, super obvious, go into Add Remove Programs and just look to see if SQLite, if that database program is installed through, like, a normal install shield that you can actually just remove it. There's an off chance I may have done that. Go into Add Remove Programs and just look for anything that says SQLite or SQLite.
Right, right.
And just see, because a lot of times these things, they won't write their own installers. They'll just, like, package up a Weiss installer and install it that way to where you can actually take it out yourself.
Yeah, I think I've done that. This stuff seems to be really deep in there, and it finds it and removes it, but it comes right back every time. So, but anyway, yeah, my bleeping computer and combo fix was what somebody recommended to me. So, I guess that's where I'll go next.
Do you know how long ago this show started showing up?
Yeah, it started showing up probably about 4, maybe 6 weeks ago. And I've been running a pristine computer for a long, long time. And I think somebody hit me with like a fake Malwarebytes update or something. And I clicked on it, and I think that's how I got it.
Well, another thing you might try is using System Restore to go back to a point before this started showing up.
I tried it. I did. It's still there. Yeah, this stuff is in there good.
If you've got all your software.
Hitman finds it and removes it, but it comes back every time.
Try Combo Fix. I mean, Combo Fix is a really good program, and it really will dig in there deep and delete some files. And it's, like sure. I said, I find it to be pretty safe.
Okay, well, I'll try it out. I'm kind of surprised. I figured you guys might have heard about this, because during my searching, I found quite a few people that had ran into it. And nobody yet has explained to me how to get rid of it, but I haven't tried Combo Fix yet. So.
We'll try that. Let us know.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Right,
thanks for your call.
Have a good one.
You too. All right. 713-526-5738 as we continue to struggle with the Skypes. This is really throwing off my whole rhythm.
Yeah, he answered. Now he's there again. Let's see if it works.
Available. Please leave a message.
No, it's his voicemail. Here, we can leave a voicemail. Hey, Peter.
This is the radio show?
Yeah, there's this show in Houston, and we were calling you to see if you wanted to be on it. All right, cool. Thanks.
All right, 713-526-5738 if you want to be on the Independence Day episode of Technology Bites. That's kind of catchy.
That's the ring.
But it's the Independence
Day. Sounds better.
He signed on there.
There he is!
Yay!
And so that's the news.
33 minutes later.
Or
what's that?
Was that the first time you tried to call me? Or
no, we've been trying.
I called you like 10 or 15 minutes ago, and it answered.
But then you weren't there.
But then you never said anything.
That's weird.
Well, okay. he was having problems at the beginning because his computer needed to be rebooted, so that was a problem.
But that was before I ever even called you. Like, my computer had, basically the battery had drained, and then it had saved state, and it was, didn't want to wake back up.
Anyway, you know, so now we were just celebrating our independence from the info shot. Speaking of which, do you have one?
I do. I have a short one.
All right. Well, let's do the info shot, and we'll be come back after that. So take it away, info shot.
It's the Technology Bites info shot. Technology news and commentary by Peter Hughes.
inject it directly into your skull.
So, no new stuff this week, and of course it's short. Obviously, you know, with a Wednesday, 4th of July, it kind of narrows things down, you know? But this one was interesting. If you saw Microsoft unveil Windows Phone 8 and were disappointed it only had a handful of new features to show, you know, the new start screen, the NFC support, don't worry, the reason... the senior project manager, Greg Sullivan, tells PocketLint that much of the information provided so far had to be revealed early to please developers and IT managers, many of whom can't wait until the last minute. Unlike a certain rival in Cupertino, Microsoft has a range of partners to work with and can't just be ready to go hours after, in quotes, the OS is announced. Like those that control both the hardware and the software. It sounds like there are a lot more features that will be coming out between now and the end of the year. So, if you had a tepid reaction to Windows Phone 8, then you might be pleasantly surprised, by the feature list by the time it's done. Of course, you know, now here's a sign of how things have changed. Before, they would have announced features not because they had to coordinate with their partners, but more because they were trying to freeze out, you know, they were trying to FUD out their competitors. Now that they're on the catch-up side, it's a little different. And speaking of being on the catch-up side, they announced this week the price for upgrading to Microsoft, you know, to Windows 8, not Windows Phone 8, but you know, the new Windows, and the price is bargain basement, it sounds like. You know, basically through January, it's down in the range like a Mac update, which is sort of interesting for a company the size of Microsoft. I think it's around $40 for an upgrade, and they'll let you upgrade even from XP. Most of the time what happens is it'll save your documents and some of your settings. If they're in the, as I saw in Dwight's column, if they're in the right place, if you have them in your regular documents area, then it'll save your documents. But if you don't, you probably would want a backup before you went to Windows 8. Finally, on Microsoft stuff, there was an article. You know, the way it's turned, you know, Microsoft was so dominant through the 90s and into after 2000, but it has turned so quickly. One of the things, there was an article that was very interesting, that apparently after Bill Gates left, Microsoft went to a system where their teams were evaluated, where there would be a certain number of people, the teams, they would evaluate the employees, and it was like two of them could be excellent, and then there were a certain number that would be average, and then two that needed improvement. And so... they were competing with each other to look good for their manager instead of the team competing to make Microsoft look good. It was a list of things. It was on a list of things that were things Microsoft did that were why it's not what it used to be. So I thought that was interesting. Apparently they had things like they were ready with some kind of tablet thing a lot earlier than everybody else, but somebody said that that wasn't Microsoft, and they like reassigned all the people that were on the team and it dropped. So, you know, they're starting to get in the coulda, shoulda, woulda phase, and hopefully at some point maybe Microsoft will get their mojo back. But it's looking certainly looking like there's a little blood in the water when the journalists start writing the stories about why you ain't all that anymore. And here's one. Cables always cost way too much money. You know, there's the Thunderbolt thing, which has been shipping in products for over a year now. And new vendors have been announcing products compatible with the standard. But the big sticking point is the cable for the thing is $50. It's only available from Apple until recently. Oops. And unfortunately, prices are not coming down anytime soon. While other vendors are now offering their own Thunderbolt cables, prices have stayed the same. In fact, some have gone up. This is kind of surprising because usually when more vendors offer competing products, the price goes down. And since the high price represents a high barrier to entry for Thunderbolt devices, it kind of puts it off into a niche early adopter willing to pay the big bucks category. The research from Ars Technica shows that for the rest of 2012, Thunderbolt cables are going to be $45 to $60 and aren't likely to drop noticeably until 2013 when second-generation silicon for Thunderbolt's active cabling becomes available in production quantities. Belkin, Elgato, and Kinex are some of the latest vendors offering Thunderbolt cables to work with a growing number of drives, docks, and other devices that are coming to market. But in many cases, the cables are even more expensive than Apple's $50 cable. Kinex is $60. Elgato, which recently released a portable Thunderbolt solid-state drive, sells a half-meter cable. That's about 18 inches. To go with the Thunderbolt SSD, and it's also $60. The only cheaper, quote, cheaper cable out there is 1 meter long. That's called 3 feet here in the United States, from Belkin, that goes with its upcoming Thunderbolt Express dock, and they're selling that for $45. Besides Apple, the only vendor, the only volume supplier of Thunderbolt cables currently seems to be a Japanese electrical cable manufacturer, Sumitomo. Intel's been using the distinctive black version of the cables in demonstrations throughout the year, including at CES and Computex. Sumitomo's cables are available from Amazon Japan from 0.3 meters to 2.3 full meters, which is 9 feet, for $48 to $62. So the price is no better if you can get it to get it through Japan. I guess if you go to Japan, you could, you know, save a few bucks with the $48 one. Well, that's a short one. So the big thing is that they are a first-generation cable. They're based on, it's called the Genome transceiver. That transceiver is the same one used in Apple's cable. And the chip is built using silicon germanium, which is an expensive semiconductor process typically used for telecom stuff. It's likely that Intel and Apple chose that part because it was either an already existing part that fit the requirements for Thunderbolt's 10 gigabits per second bidirectional data rate, or else there was, or Semtech had something similar that was easily adaptable. So at least this isn't, you know, here's one thing, that the cables are expensive because of the chips and the other pieces to it. This isn't like the, like, low oxygen, you know, BS, big buck, cables that they sell for stereos, which is no comfort if you're wanting to get a Thunderbolt drive or hook up a Thunderbolt monitor when you go to buy your cables. But at least next year they may get better as far as the price, and you can be comforted knowing it's not some sort of BS, like I said, some kind of fake like high-end audio thing. On the high-end audio, maybe you remember this was in the info shot, I don't know, a couple years ago, where they tested listeners with the, you know, like ultra super expensive, you know, big bucks per foot speaker wire. And then they also hooked some speakers up with wire coat hangers. And that the sophisticated listeners that they played this stuff through to couldn't tell the difference between the wire coat hangers and the high-end expensive oxygen-free whatever. So anyways, that, like I said, at least this isn't like that. And finally, just to throw you out a rumor, of course, this has come from a few different places. Bloomberg's had the story, the Wall Street Journal. Supposedly, Apple's component suppliers in Asia are preparing for mass production in September of a tablet computer with a smaller screen than the iPad. People familiar with the situation said, suggesting a launch for the device is near. Two of the people said that the tablet screen will likely be smaller than 8 inches. The iPad screen is 9.7 inches, which hasn't changed since the first model came out in 2010. Officials at the component suppliers who declined to be named. I'm sure they were rushing. I'm sure that they'd love to have their names associated with these rumors. Said this week that Apple has told them to prepare for mass production of the smaller tablet. If that's true, it would be about an 8-inch, a 7.85-inch, 1024 by 768 display. And the reason for that, the reason that they can, you can know, is partly because of the size of screens, standard sizes of screens, but also to keep the operating system consistent, you, the resolution has to be the same as the iPad 2 is right now. Obviously, it's not the Retina display type thing. But if you keep the resolution the same, then the developers don't have to do anything to change their apps to fit the new screen size. So that's that rumor, and I'm sure when we get into August and September, we'll have another round of iPhone rumors, but we just don't have any new ones right now. And that's the news.
I want more iPhone rumors. More iPhone rumors. Boy, you know, Dwight looks like he's going to switch to Android.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to see what happens with the iPhone 5. I won't do anything until the iPhone 5 comes out, and then I'll lay out all of my options, including Windows Phone, and make a decision at that point.
I was chatting with Flicky, but did Pete talk at all about Google getting behind like a single release of Android instead of having all this, you know, all the splintering and all the
no, I haven't heard anything about that. But they get behind a single one each time and like, try to push it, and they can't get the carriers and the handset
well, I guess
makers
here's the
to
thing.
Deliver
so,
fast enough.
Yeah, I've heard rumors, and this, I don't know if it's true or not, but I've heard rumors that they're going to start taking over the upgrade paths and the experience to where Google will start pushing out the updates and take it out of the carrier's hands because they've kind of shown that they're not really worth anything when it comes to that. They just want to sell more handsets rather than support the handsets they have, or at least that's kind of Google's take on it.
I don't see Google doing that.
Yeah?
I don't see them doing that. I mean, I haven't heard anything like that. And, you know, they've got these agreements already in place with the carriers, where the carriers handle all of it. And you have so many different pieces of hardware with so many different requirements. It's not just the carriers. It's the handset makers, too. You know, mm-hmm. It's TouchWiz on Samsung, and it's the Sense on HTC, and Motorola has its own. And so they have this whole, it's not that simple.
Yeah, but I think they're going to have to do something, though, because if you write, like, applications right now, if you want to go write stuff for the iPhone, it's pretty easy. I mean, maybe right. The only decision you have right now is do you do, you know, iPad or do iPhone, but the thing is you write the code once. It runs on all the Apple devices, but right now for Android, if you want to write an application, you've got to keep in mind the 2.3s and the 3 people and the 4.1s, and just, you know, you've got to write 4 different versions just to cover all your bases, and you're still going to leave people out, so...
Right.
713-526-5738 is the number to call if you want to be on the air with us tonight. So, Pete, you are coming in for the Geek Gathering, I see?
Yes, I am.
Awesome. 17-year anniversary of Technology Bites. Are we all there?
Are we getting a car?
The award-winning Geek Gathering.
We're getting Kim Commando's old car. All right, baby.
Come with sound effects. Auga.
That'd be, never mind. All right. So we got one call in the queue. We've got plenty of open lines. Dwight, what are you doing? He's punching away on his iPhone now. He's got two.
He's ordering something.
Oh, he's buying something.
Pizza.
No,
yeah.
Yay. All right.
Happy 4th of July.
Well, I'm setting up this. I've been meaning to do this, and I'm doing it now. Sorry, guys. There's this cool thing that you can do. On the streets of Houston with the automated parking meters.
Oh, yeah?
Where you can pay for it with your phone. Pay for the parking with your phone. And you simply use a QR code on the parking meter. You
scan it with your phone.
Scan it with your phone, and it charges your credit card, and you just walk away.
What about a receipt?
Huh?
What about a receipt?
You don't need a receipt. What will happen is if the when the guy comes up and he doesn't see a receipt, he checks with the computer. He's got
scans it,
and he will see if that license plate is registered to be at that location. So it supposedly it works. So
what does this have to do with the pizza?
You know, the problem with that is that
it comes with a free pizza.
When do we get
the
pizza?
Every time you do it, you get a pizza.
The problem with that is that if it doesn't work, you get a ticket or towed. So you really have to trust the app.
You do have to trust the app. I'm going to trust the app. I go to the Telops and YMCA, and that parking garage is frequently full. So you end up parking on the street, and I'm always putting my credit card in those machines. And so I decided I'm going to do this and not have to do
this. Does it cost more or less to do it this way, or same price?
Same price.
So that skimmer I bought for that parking meter, you're not going to use it anymore?
Okay. You're out of luck.
All right, 713-526-5738. Groovehouse?
Yes.
We have somebody in the queue that wants to talk to us?
We do.
Well, let's talk to them.
All right, up next on the 4th of July show, we're going to talk to Stu.
Stu, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Oh, you know, 4th of July, barbecue, fireworks.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm an old guy, so I'm not doing any of that. Okay, get out your vomit bags. I just got back from my daughter's wedding, and I know, not yet.
Too soon.
Too soon.
You know, in Paris, and...
Paris?
Yeah, not Texas, the main one.
The real one?
Yeah, the real one. And she's been over there for about 5 years, got her master's in international business.
That's about the most un-American phone call I've had.
She just got a permanent offer from Apple in Europe. And
Apple.
They've hired her, and she starts in September, and they're sending her in September to an undisclosed location for training. Guess where that would be?
The base of the Eiffel Tower.
Siberia.
Cupertino.
Siberia is close. Try... Dallas.
Well, that was
so much for undisclosed.
Now get out your vomit bags. You know.
Why?
Well, Dallas, give me a break.
Paris, give me a break. Well, actually, you know, what's interesting is, do you know what she's doing for them?
Well, she's going to be... in marketing, she speaks excellent French.
Uh-huh.
She's over there for 5 years. And she'll be doing I don't know exactly what she's doing for them, but I just know that she left the university because they're paying her, like, a lot of money.
Do you know if she's working on the iPhone specifically?
Well, I don't know if they call it an iPhone or not, but... She and her husband both have those damn things.
Right, but is that what she's working? Is that the division she's working in? The reason I ask is because Dallas is a big telecom hub. AT&T is based there. And so it's possible if she's going to Dallas that it's telecom based, that there's something to have to do with telecom.
Could be, although she's in the marketing, and they're going to put her into a store, an Apple store, right by the Louvre. You know,
all right, yep, Mike. Sorry, lost your opportunity to talk on our program. All right, so the Louvre Apple Store. Do we get that?
Oui.
I think
all right.
So.
All right.
Oh, 713.
Kill that too. Oh, you meant oui as in yes, yes. Sorry.
Well, if it's not the bleep, it's the wee. All right. 713-526-5738.
Le number one.
How's the connection doing here? Are you getting decent?
No, I'm still leeching off you, but now I'm leeching off one up. I think maybe that went into sleep mode, or
let's
did something.
See. Here, where come back to it in.
I don't know if I trust you anymore, Dwight. You said pizza, now there's no pizza.
No pizza, what?
Come to my 22
this is live.
Megabytes of wonderfulness, and then that
dropped. This is going to be faster than this.
Okay.
This is about 16 meg down. This is going to be like 6.
Sorry, IRC. I'm dropping and reconnecting.
713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air, and you can behave yourself. We would like to take your call.
All kinds of fireworks tonight.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I reckon you're correct. Well, you know, we should probably take a moment to acknowledge the passing of Andy Griffith.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's done. Who's next?
Born on the 4th of July.
That's not bad. I'm 15 down, 10 up. Off Dwight's connection.
Off Dwight's connection, uh-huh. Yeah.
It's pretty zippy.
Pretty zippy. All right, well, it is kind of, it seems like a, you know, it's weird driving around. Now, do be careful if you're driving around, especially us, like when we're going home, because we're going to be going home right towards the end of the Freedom of Texas, Texas thing. 4th of July is the, statistically, is the most dangerous day to drive.
Really?
Apparently. As
even more than New Year's?
I think even more than New Year's. I don't know, you know, that might just be made up, but I've heard on a couple of different, I heard on the news they were talking about 4th of July statistically is one of the most, if not the most dangerous, one of the most dangerous days to drive.
I know that in fireworks, they park in my neighborhood and walk over to Allen Parkway and Memorial and so forth.
Can
so
you even get home?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be able to get home.
Do you have a place to park?
My driveway. My garage.
All right. Well, we got calls coming in. That's awesome. So
yes.
We'll be taking calls on the air. Yeah, I wonder if we go out at the end of the show tonight if there'll be fireworks overhead.
Possibly, if we get out there right at 10. I don't, do they start at 9 or 9:30?
I can't remember.
I think they start at 9:30. It's about a half hour or so.
Oh, really?
We'll probably just miss it.
But if you're wanting to watch them, we're going to be simulcasting with the fireworks, and whatever calls we get will match up. So just keep listening to KPFT.
The fireworks will continue.
All right. So we are going to hopefully Groovehouse will get this call queued up here pretty quick, and we can allow for Groovehouse to fulfill his role of call bringer honor. All right,
that's me.
That's
yes.
You. So we still got two calls in the queue.
Yes, we do, and room for more, 713-526-5738. If you've got a computer question we can try and help you with.
All right, well, who's up first?
All right, up first, again, the next caller on the 4th of July show is Ed.
Ed, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. I had a question. Do you guys have experience with, there's an app for a MacBook called 1Password? And I'm trying to justify the expense to myself when there are other password storage apps out there like LastPass, which is free. And I see 1Password is like $35. I'm just trying to justify that expense to myself. Are you guys familiar with that application?
I use 1Password and like it. It's very handy. I've not tried any of the free ones. My wife started using this and said, "Ooh, you need to try it." And she bought me a license. The nice thing about it is you can use it on, once you have one license, you can use it on multiple computers.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe if you have like a Mac and a Windows machine, you can use it on the Windows machine as well.
Oh, okay.
So the license is works with all of them. The other thing is nice about it, if you have, like I have a Mac desktop and a Mac notebook, and if you use Dropbox, you can save the data file that holds the encrypted data file that holds the password.
Is it
can be stored on Dropbox.
Is it number one password?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so when you save a new set of passwords, it automatically is stored on Dropbox, and you have that password shared across all of your computers.
Huh. All right. That's nice. Does it work? I know LastPass, if you go to a site, say Yahoo, and it wants you go to that site, and then it fills in your username and password. Does it work like that? Or
yes.
Do you have to go through like a 1Password website and select
the site? There's an extension that you install in your browser. So, for example, I use Chrome, and it installs in Chrome.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go to a site that where you stored it, you can either tell 1Password to automatically fill it in, or to request that you fill it in, or that you have to manually go in and say, fill it in.
The latter
being obviously more secure.
Right.
But you have your choice of one of those three.
Okay. So sounds like you would definitely recommend it, huh?
I like it, and I use it a lot, and particularly the Dropbox feature is very handy.
Now, I see that the app for the iPhone is $6.99. So do you have to buy a separate app for the iPhone?
Yes, the iPhone app is a separate cost. And I may be wrong about Windows. Again, my wife paid for this for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I may be wrong about Windows, but I'm pretty sure that the Windows application license works for the Mac.
Okay, great. All right. Well, I appreciate your thoughts on this. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for your call.
Bye.
All right.
Kojo from IRC echoes Dwight's sentiment. He says it's the best.
The best.
He will see your bitchin' and raise you the best.
If you're still listening, the one thing I don't like about it is they update it very frequently. And so the extension in Chrome, they're constantly bugging you. You need to have the newer version. You need to have the newer version.
Is it worse than Adobe?
No, it's not as bad as Adobe. Although Adobe now does background updates on both the Windows and Mac platform. So if you choose, they can be silent in the background.
I still like to know when they're doing that, though. I don't quite trust them enough to turn my back on them just yet.
Well, do you trust Google and Chrome to update?
Yeah.
But not Adobe?
No.
Oh, I have a Chrome update right now.
All right, 713-526-5738. If you want to be on the air with us tonight, we are taking your calls.
Yeah, I think.
Actually, it's the top of the hour.
Wow, we missed that. Flew right through it.
Yeah, we did. All right, well, you're listening to Technology Bites. We need to take a short break here, so we'll be right back after this.
Thanks to the ceaseless work of KPFT's engineers, we've been able to restore a much stronger signal for our regular broadcast channel at 90.1 FM and for our HD channels as well. However, we still need to lightning-proof our transmission chain by replacing our antenna, transmitter, and other equipment. Our lightning capital campaign is ongoing, and the $45,000 plus that so many have donated has given KPFT a decided head start towards the first phase of lightning-proofing, which will include replacing our current antenna. Please consider making a special donation to the KPFT Lightning campaign to help us get over this challenge to our budget and keep free speech radio alive in Houston. Visit kpft.org to make a donation today. Again, that's kpft.org to lightning-proof your community radio station. This is 90.1 Pacifica Radio, kpft.org, twitter.com/kpft, facebook.com/kpft Houston.
Listeners support KPFT in many different ways. Some write checks and others use credit cards. But if you're spinning your wheels looking for a tax deduction, think about donating your working but unwanted car, motorcycle, boat, or truck to KPFT. You'll qualify for a tax deduction and at the same time take care of that unfinished business. To make a donation, call our toll-free vehicle donation hotline at 877-308-2408. We'll arrange for your vehicle to be picked up and the title transferred. Then we'll send you a receipt for your tax deduction. It's that simple to support the station you've come to rely on for alternative music, news, and public affairs programming. Again, for more information or to make a donation, call our toll-free vehicle donation hotline at 877-308-2408. You're tuned in to commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston, radio for peace.
All right, and we're back for more Technology Bites. Almost missed that top of the hour thing. Oh, yeah, Barrett time. Hooray.
Hey, Barrett. What's happening?
I don't know.
Well, room around town.
We interrupt this skit to bring you...
Barrett time! Barrett time! Barrett time!
Yeah. That means it's time for...
Barrett!
Yeah. Anyway. Take it away, Barrett.
All right. To quote the Princess Bride, life is pain, Highness. Anyone who tells you differently is selling something. If you experience any pain over missing the screening of Steve Jobs, The Lost Interview, Technology Bites is here to tell you that life doesn't always have to be painful, and we're not selling anything, though the Museum of Fine Arts Houston is. The MFAH will present Steve Jobs, The Lost Interview, comprised of footage shot in 1995 during an hour-long interview with Bob Cringely for a series about the birth of the personal computer. This was 10 years after he left Apple, arguably a painful time in his own life. He talks openly and sadly about his forced departure from Apple, reminisces about pioneering days with Steve Wozniak, and offers his vision for the future, a place where artists and poets would create the material and digital objects of our desire. Your first chance at a second chance to catch the flick is tomorrow night at the Brown Auditorium. Showtimes are at 7 p.m. this Thursday and next, as well as 5 o'clock showings the next three consecutive Saturdays. Hit www.mfah.org for details and directions to the theater. Here's a hint. It's inside the museum. And of course, the July Geek Gathering, happening this Friday, marks 17 years of Technology Bites taking the pain out of tech, or at least distracting you enough so that you didn't notice it as much. I will be descending upon the newly renamed Aperture, a.k.a. the coffee house formerly known as the Coffee Grounds, which is still located at the corner of Bagby and McGowan in Midtown Houston. We won't see you in person again until after we've returned from DEF CON 20, so we're going to get the party started early with a little automotive hacking. If you have a ride sold in the U.S. after 1996, you're sitting atop a large network of interconnected sensors, actuators, and other assorted electronics every time you buckle your seatbelt. All of this is made available to you thanks to a ruling by Congress that opened up the diagnostic ports and protocols to people outside the automotive industry. By plugging into a port, not only can you see what's going on inside your car, you can even pass messages along the network to achieve things like unlocking the doors, rolling down the window, or turning off that pesky check engine light that actually means nothing whatsoever. The protocol is called OBD2, or Onboard Diagnostic System 2. And the required gear has recently become cheap and easy to find. Of course, all the regular elements that won the Geek Gathering and Houston Press Web Award will be in effect. Free Wi-Fi, coffee, snacks, and a ton of tech will round out our warranty voiding session. Check out our website at geekradio.com for details and directions to the party. For now, that's it for your fireworks-free 411. And that's that for Barrett time.
All right. Yes, you mentioned DEF CON. I'm getting excited about DEF CON.
3 weeks, not even 3 weeks. Two more shows and then DEF CON.
You only have, is it two more shows?
I think two more shows. Let's pull up a calendar here. But yeah, I think, yeah, 11th, 18th, and then that Wednesday, I will be getting to bed early to go buy you tickets.
That's right. You'll yes. be.
I think I will be gone also.
In Vegas?
Yeah.
Yay.
You're gonna go. You're gonna, on
what
Wednesday.
Dates are Wait, this?
Uh-huh. You're leaving to go on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm, I think so.
Really? Why?
Why not?
Okay. Because you're needed here.
Groove House is here.
Hey, Flickhead's always here. It's not like he takes off for long amounts of time to go traipse around the world. Like, oh, okay.
So when are you guys?
I'm going up Thursday. So.
What date?
I'm leaving the 24th of July and coming back the 30th.
It's 24th of July?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's Tuesday.
I don't know.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah, I'm leaving on the 26th. Okay. I just don't see any reason to get there on Wednesday, necessarily. But are you going to hit the ground? Are you going to get up early on Thursday and stand in line with mm-hmm. Barrett to get tickets?
Yes, mm-hmm. yes, he is.
That's yeah. nice of you. I think that's kind of swell, actually. As long as one of you remembers to get mine.
I'm gonna bring Four Loko to the line.
No, don't do that. We want guaranteed success, not guaranteed failure.
I'm gonna bring an air sickness back to the line.
Four Loko is for the next night.
So Jay, on the show on the 25th, if they're gone,
yeah,
just be you and Groove House.
Really?
Oh, no, are you coming to Vegas too?
Wow. No, I'll be coming back Pete? From vacation, so I will probably be on the road.
Gotta love some Pete.
And Pete?
Well, I can probably come be there in person if that's what's needed.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on down. Wow. I don't know what to make of that.
So if you,
guest hosts.
If you're looking for something to do the weekend before...
DEF CON.
Before DEF CON, yeah, July the 21st, whatever. If you're a fan of Wes Anderson, the second annual soiree... at the hotel in Hillsboro is taking place where the Alamo Drafthouse Rolling Road Show shows up and blows up their screen and shows the movie Bottle Rocket, because it's the hotel that half the movie Bottle Rocket was filmed in. So it's the second year they're doing it. I will be at that.
Where's Hillsboro exactly?
It's between here and Dallas, although a lot closer to Dallas. I mean, it's like 30, 40 miles south of Dallas, Fort Worth. But anyway, I'm going to that. I already have my hotel room booked.
At the hotel?
At the hotel.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so.
Wow.
I went there last year,
you're
the first one.
You're just gallivanting.
Yeah.
So you're going to go to Las Vegas early. You'll go off to this thing for the movie.
Oh, yeah, but I won't miss a show. And then for my birthday, I got tickets. For my birthday, I got tickets to Devo. In Austin, yeah, because it.
You're not going to go see him at the Arena Theater here with Blondie?
No, it's in Austin. It's at Stubbs in Austin.
Oh,
with,
yeah.
With Blondie. And then the next month, I'm going to Dallas to see Diane Antborg.
Not Dallas!
To see Diane Antborg.
Wow.
Because it's the only place they're playing in Texas.
Lucky.
It's not luck. He's planning. He's making
I didn't plan it. I didn't plan it. It was for my birthday.
You know, when Lucky is muttered in the background on a microphone, it almost sounds like something else.
Plunky. Ducky.
Flunky.
Chunky.
I'm not trying to punk you.
Lucky.
All right, and for people that know my taste in music, on Sunday, Adrian Belew and Tony Levin are going to be playing a King Crimson-esque show at Warehouse Live.
Wow.
And that should be very good on Sunday. So I'm hoping to be there, hopefully photographing it as well. But I love Adrian Belew. Makes the guitar talk. I know some of our listeners out there are Crimson fans and appreciate that show. All right, Groovehouse, I see we only have one call in the queue. So how do we get more people in the queue?
We have to give out the number.
Okay.
And tell them that we're a computer call-in show and to call in if you have problems.
If you're hooking your Arduino up to your fireworks, we can help you with that, too.
713-526-57...
My hands!
My typing hands!
713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air. Groovehouse?
Yeah.
Who's up?
All right, up next on the second half of the 4th of July show, we're going to take Ellis.
Ellis, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hey, how are you all doing?
We're all right.
Well, I got a question related to Google Chrome, specifically about when I'm playing videos on it. Like via YouTube or what have you. It doesn't happen initially when I open it up, but after, a couple hours of use or something like that, a couple things start happening. Like if I take it to full screen, then the audio will stay on, but the screen will just go completely black. And I have to hit the key at the top of the, I forget the name of the key, but the one that separates all the windows and click on Finder or something like that, so I can go to the bottom of the screen and right click and quit Chrome that way. And does that sound like anything you guys have heard of?
This is with Chrome on a Mac?
Yeah, on a Mac OS X.
You probably are looking at an issue with Chrome and Flash, because Chrome's built-in Flash, it handles the Flash plug-in. Google handles it itself, as opposed to you're getting the latest version of Flash. And it is notoriously buggy.
Yeah.
And so what you might do, have you tried installing the latest version of Flash just to see what happens, and then using, say, Safari or maybe Firefox?
No, haven't tried doing that. Back when I used to still use Safari, it actually did the same thing, except much, much worse. I just had to completely chunk Safari out the window for that.
Do you update your Flash often?
Not as frequently as I should, no.
Probably try doing that. Try getting the latest. I don't know if when you download Flash and install it, that it affects Chrome, but it's not going to hurt Chrome. And so you might update the latest version of Flash when you install it will allow you to update it in the background silently the same way Chrome does. So if you do that, it will keep itself updated from then on out for both Firefox and Safari if you have those installed.
Oh, okay. Well, I can go ahead and give that a shot then.
Yeah, but Chrome's Flash is notoriously bad.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the answer. Y'all have a good one.
All right, thanks for your call. Bye-bye.
You're welcome.
All right, 713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air with us tonight.
This chair is annoying.
Is it?
Yeah, somebody like used electrical or duct tape or something and wrapped the armrests, and now they're like coming loose, and so there's all this gunk all over them.
We have a chair in here with absolutely no armrests at all. It's popping out with.
Yeah, I'm afraid that one would fall over.
713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air with us tonight. Groovehouse is currently screening a call. Ah, it's 4th of July. Is this weird?
Yes, I was looking ahead, and besides the usual holiday that we always sort of holiday that we always have the night before Thanksgiving, but we also get to be our show is on for Halloween.
Really?
That's real?
That's a Wednesday this year.
We ought to invite little kids to come trick or treat while we're on the air.
No.
A bunch of old computer nerds hanging out in a dark radio station and invite the children to come over.
Exactly.
That can't end well. That's one of your favorite holidays, Barrett. Isn't it?
Yeah, I like it because I was going to do a whole bunch of Arduino stuff before it caught on and everyone's doing Arduino stuff, you know, 2 years from now. So we can do stuff here, and it's still early enough.
You know,
10 o'clock's early enough. It's not like, you know, it is tonight where we've got, like, you know, I'm sitting in
what a room. What day of the week is that? I'm just kidding.
Sitting in a windowless room with four dudes. Yeah. Kind of dark. No fireworks.
Oh. Well, you went, oh, because you're going to be somewhere else, or?
For
at least I hope Halloween. There's no fireworks.
For Halloween?
No, I'll be here.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's just middle of the week holidays suck.
Yeah.
Do not like that. So what about Christmas? How are we doing for Christmas? Did you check that far ahead?
We're the day after Christmas and the day after New Year's Day.
All right. Well, that's not too bad. All right. 713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air with us tonight. We have one call in the queue. All the rest of the lines are open, and we have about 45 minutes left in the show. So if you want to participate, this is your opportunity. 713-526-KPFT. Groove House.
Yes.
Who's up?
All right. Up next, we're going to take Bob.
Bob, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Yeah, I've got, like, I think it's a redirect virus. Every time I open up my browser, it takes me some weird web page.
Okay.
And someone gave me CombiFix and told me to run that. And I was just wondering if I should or not.
Well, CombiFix is a good program. It's good for, you know, getting rid of redirects and rootkits, so it might be worth running it. But I would recommend that you find the article on how to use it at Bleeping Computer. So if you Google search CombiFix Bleeping Computer, just like it sounds, they have a web page that is basically a tutorial on how to run that program and how to use it.
Okay, and should I run anything else after I run it, or should it get it
Depends
done?
On whether or not it gets it done or not. It has a good chance of being the, you know, of removing it. CombiFix I've had a lot of good luck with, but if that doesn't do it, you might want to look at a program called Hitman Pro. It's not It's not free, but it's a good program.
Okay.
All right?
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for your call.
Bye.
All right. Well, that was easy, quick, painless, fast.
So we're going to talk about the Higgs boson? It was mentioned
the Higgs
IRC.
Boson? Y'all.
So yeah, that was the second word.
Boson.
Boson?
Mm-hmm. Boson. You think it was bozo in?
Boson.
The P O-son.
Boson.
Boson.
So what about it? They found one.
Did they?
They found evidence of one.
I didn't actually see the announcement.
See one.
The detailed headline, I think, is they found something that could be, that's very like the Higgs boson.
I watched, you know, one of those animated cartoons about that guy draws.
Yeah.
And it was actually about it, and so they were explaining it, and they were saying that basically, like, there's a data set, and if it exists, there will be a tiniest amount of a bump at one point, and so you need like billions and billions of test cases so that you can plot the data to see if it looks like there's a bump there.
The best thing is my Twitter feed is geeky enough that someone live tweeted the Higgs boson press conference, and it was pretty funny actually. They made it fairly amusing, but
wow, live tweeting.
I hadn't really thought of that. You know, it's one thing when it's like a concert or a TV show that lots of people watch, Downton Abbey or whatever, but not like big science.
Yeah. All right. Groovehouse, do we have another call waiting to be in the queue?
We do.
Wants to be in the queue, what do they do?
They have to call 713-526-5738.
Our callers tonight are as elusive as that particle.
Right. Everybody's trying to watch the fireworks now.
Is it coming on now? Is it getting ready to be time?
Should be around time now.
But, no, yeah, coming up on it, yeah.
So if you're listening online or out of state, out of country.
If you're a communist.
Now's the time to call. 713-526-5738.
All right, who do we have up next?
Up next, we're going to take Thomas.
Thomas, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. I'm totally excited about the
seventh dimension or whatever getting found with the Higgins boson.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Higgins.
I think Magnum PI found that.
Higgins.
So my question's about HDMI cables. Is there a difference?
And HDMI cables?
Yes.
Yes.
Really?
But not what you think.
There's a difference in price, but not necessarily in quality.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I thought.
No, it's definitely... The thing about... Yeah, I kind of have a...
He has a rant.
Lay it on
I have a...
Tell us.
HDMI cables annoy me because they're really complex cables. They have like 22 cables in them, I think. Like four pairs of two, couple pairs of four, and then like four ground cables or something. It's a really complex design, and so when they originally came out, they were kind of hard to make and get crimped right, and so the price was higher. But nowadays, it's not true. And the thing is, at this point, the standard that was developed for them, the reason it was developed was really for encryption and protection, so that when you plug two devices together, they could talk to each other, and one of them would say, I'm a recorder, and the other one would say, well, I'm not going to send you data because you're not allowed to record what I play. There's a lot of that built in that's never been developed, and so half the wiring that's in HDMI cables isn't even used these days. But as far as the price point, it's dropped down now, and honestly, like, for example, I buy a lot of stuff through Monoprice now, which is an online website. You can get HDMI cables for like $3. And for the most part, they're just as good as any other HDMI cable, especially certain ones from a company that starts with an M and ends in Onster. Their cables are really expensive, and they're really not any better. But unfortunately, they sue a lot of people who say things about them. So,
right.
So well, my name's like Jay, and like, I said that.
When, like they say, they're like got silver plating versus copper plating. It's six and one half a dozen.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that never affects anything, but it's the same thing with speaker cable. Like, people start getting into like long throw copper and oxygen free, blah blah blah,
yeah.
And they start pulling out all this scientific stuff. And for the most part, it's generally crap. Like,
there was actually a test. I mentioned this on the info shot. There was actually a test where they took all that hideously expensive, you know, $30 a foot speaker cable, and they even made speaker cables out of wire coat hangers.
Yep.
And the audiophiles, the highly trained ears, couldn't hear the difference between the oxygen-free, you know, banana-flavored whatever.
Like, there's a website I like called Audioholics, and they're audiophiles, but they're realistic audio files. And so they actually take equipment like stereographic equipment or whatever, like, and then run HDMI cables, speaker cables, different kind of cables, and come up with like all the specs. And they do see some amount of difference, but it's mostly imperceptible. And with HDMI cable, it's really not the only time when it starts to become a really big deal is when you start running long distances. And when you start running long distances, at that point, the crimping, some of that stuff really does affect it. And but the thing is, the price point doesn't really seem most of the time to align very well.
Right. What would you consider a long distance? Well, over 10 feet?
No, I think once they started experiencing difficulties was, I don't remember. I want to say it was like 50 feet or something. It was pretty.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Long distance.
I'm nowhere near that.
Because a lot of people run stuff like in their walls. Monoprice, that's a website that I buy stuff from. There's a bunch of different ones.
Amazon also has its own brand. It's really cheap. You know, it's like $6.99 or something.
It's pretty much commoditized, and they work, and there's no reason to spend that much money.
I've been using the Amazon branded ones, HDMI, on all of my stuff, and I have no problems there.
It's probably the same makers make all the same cables. Right. Come out of a handful of factories, and the deal is that, you know, you go to a big box store, and they want you to, you know, they're going to sell the big things at, you know, really low prices, but then they're going to make up the money selling you cables that are five times as expensive as they have to be.
I mean, I think it's like buying one of those printers. It's a cheap printer, but the ink gun is, you know, $20 more than if you went and bought a regular nice printer.
Right.
Yeah, here on Amazon is a DVI gear HDMI cable, 6 feet, regular price, $166.99. It's selling for $1.61.
Yeah.
So yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it's
$16 at somewhere locally.
Right. Amazon's own brand is called Amazon Basics. It's $5.49.
Oh wow. Okay. Cool. So well, thanks guys. I appreciate the show. First time listener, and so far it's enjoyable.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Have a good night.
I've really been hoping that, because like maybe a year ago or 2 years ago, some people started defining standards for transferring video and other stuff over Cat5 cables. So their hope was that basically just regular Cat5 would take over all connections for all kinds of devices for everything. And so you wouldn't have all these different kinds of connectors. You just have Cat5, Cat6 cables, whatever, basically RG45 connectors. And because, I mean, honestly, a lot of the stuff, when you start getting into, like, people that do home theater that are running stuff down the walls, a lot of that audio and video is they use converter boxes that convert it to cat cabling, and then they run the cat cable in the walls and then convert it back on the other end back into whatever hooks in. So it hasn't caught on, but I was hoping that it would.
All right, 713-526-5738. If you want to be on the air with us tonight, we are taking your calls. All of our lines are open, and we have about 30 minutes left in the show or so, give or take. So if you wanted to be on the air, this is your opportunity to do that. 713-526-KPFT. I know that things should be blowing up here pretty soon. I guess people might be getting ready to watch some fireworks. I wonder if we'll be able to hear it in here.
Might be able to hear something.
I hear it when they go off in my neighborhood out in the boonies. The neighbors get all crazy with their... I always struggle with... I would like to detonate some fireworks.
Yes.
You live in the city, right?
I live in the city.
Yeah.
And I know that you can drive out of the city and get them. But my worry is how do you know if you're driving back into the city? You know, how do you find a place once you go get them?
To store them.
Or to just go detonate them, or store them, or something. You know, so if you want to go out and buy some, like you have a free Saturday afternoon before 4th of July. You know, you want to go buy some fireworks, have some on hand, so that you could go someplace legal and launch them. But I'm worried you go to one of these places, drive up, buy your fireworks. If you make the wrong turn, and you accidentally go.
SWAT team comes in, yeah. Helicopters come out.
I see.
Drive up the road a little bit.
It does happen.
Make a U-ing, come back.
You do have to be at least 200 feet. I forgot what the law is. 200 feet from the fireworks stand. You can't set them off within 200 feet.
Right. But you don't want to set them off.
I don't think you want these for here to go.
Well, I don't actually want to set them off necessarily right when I buy them.
So just drive down the road like 300 feet and go to town.
Launch
them
out of the car.
I don't want to detonate them right when I buy them.
He's worried about bringing them back into the city limits.
Oh yeah, there are policemen that wait and watch people leave fireworks stands and drive back into the city limits and stop them.
So make it a ride.
Just drive a little.
Go out of town.
Yeah.
So once you cross, go outside, you buy your fireworks, then you take a ride and you come back into town on some other road because they're not going to follow you. And if you want to detonate them, like, in your neighborhood on the street in front, if you do it when everybody else is, like, tonight...
I don't want to detonate them inside
the city. Police aren't going to come out because there are, 4 million calls about it, and I know police officers, and the deal is unless you're like attacking small children with it or endangering the public, if you're just shooting off fireworks in a semi-safe way, they're not gonna dispatch. They don't put all officers on duty to go rush out and write citations for fireworks.
No more challenging the neighborhood kids to Roman candle fights is what he's saying.
We used to get when I was a kid, we used to get a couple of paper towel rolls and tape them together and put handles on them and use them as bazookas to launch bottle rockets
out of. Right. In when I lived up in the spring, we lived in the county, and people, we were on a dead end street, and people would drive in from the city and drive into our neighborhood and shoot things off because they knew they could, and by the end of the night, it looked like a war zone, complete with the smoke floating. It looked like fog, and it smelled awful. But we had a good time.
I love fireworks.
Yeah.
I love blowing stuff
up.
We
have calls, speaking of fireworks. All right, Groove House?
Yes.
Who's up next?
All right, up next on the show, we're going to take David.
David, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Yeah, how you doing today, guys?
Good, how are you?
Great. I have a question about encryption. You know how to say if you send your your email through Gmail, for example, Google cannot get in there and read your mail.
Mm-hmm. Right? Say that again?
If you send your emails, let's say through Gmail, Google cannot see get into your email and read them. Emails, right?
If you use strong encryption, they're not going to be able to index and search your email like they would if you just sent it in clear text.
Okay, maybe just actually answer my question. And what kind, like, for example, what's basic, very good encryption that...
GPG is the standard. It's kind of the free standard. There used to be something called, there still is, it's PGP, which stands for Pretty Good Privacy. Uh-huh. It's a public key cryptography or encryption. To where you've got a public key, you've got a private key, you give other people your public key, and then you can encrypt stuff to other people, to where you can even encrypt it to where only certain people can decrypt it. And there are a lot of browser plugins, not specifically for Gmail, but for instance, like if you were to run Thunderbird, there are a lot of... Now, let me back up. So I said PGP. There's a free version that's called GPG, which stands for New Privacy Guard, but it's a clone because PGP got bought by a company that's now charging for it. But the deal is, you may not, if you're using webmail, there may not be a plugin for Gmail. What you may want to do is search for GPG browser extensions or browser add-ons and get something for either Chrome or get something for Firefox that will then be a plugin that'll let you encrypt stuff in Gmail. It's kind of a roundabout. Or you can just go get like a really easy add-on for like Thunderbird that'll do it automatically for you.
Okay, very good. And that will work also for if you want to send, different kind of files like.
You can encrypt anything. Yeah, you can encrypt anything from a really short email, or you can actually digitally sign it, which means that someone can tell if that message was altered in transit. And then, you can encrypt really large files too, whatever you want to encrypt.
Okay, oh, great. Thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, good luck. GPG.
Thanks.
All right. That's not an abbreviation for good luck.
GPG?
Yeah. Yeah, you said, all right, good luck. GPG.
GPG. Oh.
713-526-5738. If you'd like to be on the air, we still have time left. We got one call in the queue. Plenty of open lines. Groove House?
Yes.
713-526-5738. Who's up next on 713-526-5738?
That would be Eamon.
Eamon, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hey, y'all. My question, I guess, is fairly simply, I'm on Cricket, and I have their most basic smartphone because I need it for emails and stuff at work. Now I'm kind of in position and where I'm versus Clear for my home internet, or Cricket is now offering this tethering Wi-Fi hotspot. And I'm guessing that it's obviously better the better phone I get, but it's only $10 more a month to my 55 versus the 30 or 35 at Clear. I mean, any suggestions?
I think Cricket has a gigabyte soft data cap right now, whereas Clear, I think they'll let you run up to... I don't know. I don't know if they've got an official cap. Do they?
They don't have an official cap. Just if you use too much, they'll throttle you for a bit and then release it. So
a gig will get you maybe some basic emails, some really light web surfing, but no videos, no downloading really of anything. So Clear may be your way to go unless they've got a higher data plan. But that $10 a month add-on only gets you 1 gigabyte of data from what the Cricket site's saying.
Okay. As far as that goes, then, I had Clear at a previous residence, and I wouldn't mind going back. I just didn't know if I could do it all in one and be better off.
I mean, the other thing you could do, Cricket, it looks like they've got a $55 plan that gives you unlimited data, or what they're calling unlimited data.
That's what I'm on right now with just this smartphone, and that they sent me the text message saying add $10 to make it a hotspot. And I didn't know if the connection on my laptop is going to be dependent upon the phone or the service.
It'll be dependent upon kind of the phone, but again, I'm looking. So a lot of people are complaining that even though they're paying the $10, you get a soft data cap on the tethering data. So at a gig is what it did. And that was as of December of 2011.
Okay.
Actually, January 2012. Yeah. So Clear may be your best way to go. And I want to say that those plans are probably about half that, too. I think they're about $30 maybe. So, I mean, you still probably want to keep data on your phone, but it's another $20 over the $10 for tethering on Cricket, and then you get almost as much data as you want.
Huh. Well, sounds good. And as far as the previous guy goes, I wouldn't trust any encrypting because 90% of the companies are owned by the people you're sending your emails through anyway, the paid and free ones. But thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks for your call. All right. 713-526-5738.
I was going to mention that there's a company, I don't know if they're still in business or not, called AudioQuest that made cables and stuff, and they had a cable called the Kilimanjaro that was a speaker cable. I want to say those the cables were $10,000 a piece.
Wow.
Yes.
See, I prefer coat hangers. I just can't find a coat hanger long enough has been my problem.
Well, you just twist them together at the end.
Oh, I was doing it wrong.
And the Kilimanjaro, they sold through this email campaign where it was a Nigerian prince.
Let me get my speaker cables out of Nigeria.
All right. 713-526-5738. Groovehouse just got punked or something on the phone. Was that not a real call?
Oh, they hung up.
Oh, bastards. All right.
The fireworks probably just started. I'm like, yeah. Oh, this, I'm out of here.
And that is tough. I mean, geeks do tend to love fireworks, so we're competing. You know, we're not asking you to.
And evidently, I guess they were doing like a symphonic or concert version of Zelda, music from Zelda.
That's on Friday.
Okay. Oh, that's on Friday. That's on competing Friday. With the Geek Gathering.
Competing with the Geek Gathering. Don't mention that.
Well, I said it was tonight, so everybody would think it's already over.
Yeah, but I corrected you, and I wait a minute. You tricked you. It's a trap. All right. 713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air with us tonight.
Has anybody looked up the Kilimanjaro cable?
No.
I'm pretty sure it was $10,000 a cable. I mean, it's really insanely. No, I'm serious. It was like insanely expensive. Another one that's really funny is I think it was on Amazon. I think it was Monster or Belkin had a speaker cable that was $300 or $700, or it was a really expensive cable, and so it was one of those that people write the like funny reviews about, and it had like hundreds of reviews on it that was like, you know, like, this cable changed my life when I plugged it. really funny reviews.
So KHOU has a live camera atop its tower, which is near downtown. And while it's individual pictures, it's not live streaming, there is a firework visible on the current image.
A firework?
Oh, a firework, cool. You can see it's starting to bloom.
And what is this? Where's the site again?
This is at KHOU's website, which actually is web.live.weatherbug.com/live cameras, et cetera, et cetera.
All right. Well, stuff is blowing up all over town, I suppose, because, you know, we're independent. We're proud. It's America. Love it or leave it. Call it or don't. Call Technology Bites or don't. You know, strike a blow for freedom from computer problems.
Ah, comrades are calling in. We have Ivan.
All right. See, we got one real call and one fake call for Groovehouse. All right, Groovehouse, who is this?
All right. Coming up next, we've got Ivan.
Ivan.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I have a question. Well, not really a question. I was kind of looking for some advice.
Okay.
I don't have a computer, and I was thinking about getting one.
You don't have a computer? How do you manage?
I have a cell phone, a smartphone.
Okay.
I do everything on it, you know, emails and all that stuff.
All right.
But I was kind of, like, wondering if I should get a computer or a tablet. You know, it really doesn't matter what kind.
Well, a tablet's going to be just like a bigger phone. Except that it doesn't make phone calls.
Yeah.
So it's going to really... Yeah. What phone do you have?
I have a Galaxy S, the first one that came out.
All right. Yeah, I have that same phone. So, yeah. So a tablet is going to be very similar to the experience you're having with a phone, depending on what you get. You have a bigger screen, so, you know, it will be more usable for things like browsing the web and maybe sending emails, you know. But
yeah,
it's going to be a very similar experience to the phone.
Yeah, I mean, that's really all I do, you know.
Why don't you just keep, why would you be wanting a tablet? What do you see as the benefit of having a tablet as opposed to, you know, your phone?
I use my phone to do a lot of reading on it also. So.
A tablet is much better for reading.
Okay.
That's kind of what I was leaning to, but just a buddy of mine was telling me that I'd be better off buying the computer just because he says I should get one, but I don't think I really need one.
Well, you can look at a tablet device if you're just interested in reading, but you might want to consider even like a notebook, you know, computer might be something worthwhile.
Yeah.
What do you read? Are you reading books? Are you reading magazines? Or just
Yeah, like Wired and stuff like that, you know. I like all the tech stuff. I just don't own any of it.
Will the Kindle let you do all that?
Yes.
Don't buy a Kindle Fire right now, though. I mean, you've got the Google Nexus 7 coming out pretty soon.
If you're interested in things like kind of next generation magazines, for example, Wired has a beautiful app for the iPad that does videos and interactive images and lets you look up more information. If you're interested in that type of thing, at the moment, the Nexus 7, which is Google's upcoming tablet, has very little of that kind of content compared to the iPad or the Kindle. I don't know about the Wired app for the Kindle, but I know that you can do lots of magazines on the Kindle. If you're looking at magazines and that type of thing, the iPad is probably a better choice. And if you're looking at books and more text reading, the Kindle is a really good choice. Of course, there's a Kindle app for the iPad, too.
All right. Well, that sounds good. That kind of leans me more toward a pad or whatever I just said. Sorry.
I'm a little
tired. I've been working all day. But, yeah, I'll take that into consideration. I appreciate your guys' advice.
All right. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
All right.
He didn't sound Russian.
No, not at all. Although it sounded like he couldn't decide whether to get in or out of his car.
Not a very decisive guy.
All right, Groove House, we have another call in the queue.
Yes, we do.
713-526-5738. If you want to be on the air with us tonight, we are taking your calls, but we do have a call in the queue, which we're going to deal with. But if you want to be on the air with us, we invite you to call 713-526-KPFT. Groove House, who's up?
All right, up next, we're going to take Bill.
Bill, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hi, guys. My cable TV bill is really getting out of hand, and I was wondering if you'd care to comment on what resources are available for getting free TV over the internet.
There's not really any option to get free TV in terms of if you want the broadcast, you know, if you want like HBO or if you want any of the cable channels, that's not going to be free no matter what you do unless you find a way to steal it.
There's some stuff that's on Hulu, but for the most part they're going like more Hulu Plus, where it's like $10 you know a month. And there's also Netflix streaming where you can get some content, but for right now you kind of have to hunt down the particular shows you're after. I don't have cable TV. I'm totally online for the most part, but I use a combination of services, and there's still things that, you know, I can't see. But I mean, there's also Amazon Video. If you've got a Prime account, you can stream quite a bit. But all there's a time lapse between, you know, when they actually hit the network TVs and when they hit the cable networks and when you actually get to see them.
I'm cableless also, and I use a combination of Netflix, Hulu. I go to actual cable TV stations online, and a lot of them have episodes that you can watch.
Cable TV stations?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Comedy Discovery Central, and, yeah. Discovery, and Food Network and stuff. You can go and see either clips or full episodes of shows. So there's a, you know, it there can be some. Done. I mean, the other cool thing is like ESPN will live broadcast sports. I mean, that's great. You can also get yourself a little antenna that will pick up HD signals off the air. And, I mean, while you spend, you know, $50 on that, you do have the major networks.
You can also make your own HD antenna out of some spare wood and some metal coat hangers, which I've done for about, I don't know, like $10, and it works. I mean, and I have HD channels locally broadcast HD channels now.
You still have to have something to pick up the signal, though. That's where the little converter comes in.
What I love is having this big, nice HD TV, and then on the bookcase next to it, rabbit ears next to it, because you can pick up. And actually, the quality of the HD signal over the air from the broadcast stations is better than anything you get
through
from
cable. Really?
Yeah, it's a much, because it's uncompressed. It's compressed when it comes in through cable or through UVerse.
Well, it sounds like some pretty good ideas, but it still sounds like a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. You essentially, when you're buying cable television, what you're paying for is the convenience of a package of it just being there and just working. When you drop it, you have to cobble together what you can, and you won't be able to see everything.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for the advice. Looks like I might be buying cable for at least another year or so.
All right. Thanks for your call. Bye. One of the interesting things is I have one premium channel. I have Showtime, and I almost watch Showtime exclusively on my iPad and not on the television because I'm interested in past episodes of shows I haven't seen. So, like, I just finished watching all of the available seasons of Nurse Jackie and The Big C. But when you go to look on demand on UVerse for those older episodes, they're not there. They only go back so far. And so I actually find more value in watching it using the Showtime iPad app than I do watching cable television.
But you still have to have that cable account, though, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this guy, you know, he wanted to be cable-free. Right. So,
If you don't care about watching too much TV, then having HD channels locally is pretty decent selection. I mean, because there's a couple of them that show really old shows like Andy Griffith and I Love Lucy and all that stuff. You know, and then there's the majors. There's the three or four majors. I mean, you know, you're going to lose some sports. You're going to not have Comedy Central and
something you consider too is if you're interested in watching just local broadcast television and you're worried about not having enough to watch, you could set up some kind of recording device or set your computer record stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty easy if you just leave it on all the time. You can have a personal video recorder. Yeah. Just super easy to where you can actually even bring up Weber interfaces and, you know, from the road say like, hey, record this, do this.
Right.
You know, a little bit of networking.
All right. 713-526-5738 to be on the air with Technology Bites. We got a little bit of time left in the show, so we could stand to have a few more calls in the queue. Groovehouse, I see one lined up.
Yep.
Who is it?
Up next, we're going to take Deborah.
Deborah, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hello.
Hello.
My husband and I have a small business. We have a second home in a remote area. We have cell phones. We have a laptop and a data stick, but no landline. We also have employees that speak Spanish. We would like to be able to run our company efficiently with our technology and communicate efficiently with them. When in a perfect world, I'd have a fax, but I don't. So how can I translate at least and communicate with my employees with the equipment I have?
So will you have employees that speak Spanish but do not speak English?
A little English, but in company, sometimes you need those details.
Right. Well, the problem becomes finding any technology that's going to translate your documents and your ability to communicate with your employees. There's no magic bullet for translation.
No, but so many programs now offer it as language in a built-in to the system.
Well, you can have Spanish built into the system, but if you're wanting to input English and have it output Spanish that's understandable by the person who speaks Spanish, there's not an easy way to do that. You can see that for yourself if you go to a website like translate.google.com.
Yes.
And type in, you know, a nice paragraph of perfectly sensible English, translate it to Spanish, have a Spanish person read it and see how much they laugh at you.
We have done that. And so I understand in the bigger picture, all the details don't translate well. I don't need that. We have a very basic business. I mean, we make rags, okay? It's just one thing or two things we're talking about. So how else? You know, if we had a fax and we get the orders in Houston and we're in this, Port Lavaca's my remote area. We were in this remote area and we could, I guess I'm cheap and don't want to buy a service to send my faxes through as emails and then try to use that technology to communicate back with my employees because I have other employees there that can translate. think further for me once they read it.
Well, let's say, I'm not really...
It sounds like you could use something like AOL Instant Messenger and send texts.
Okay.
And one thing you could do, if there's only so many phrases that you're really sending to people, then you get with somebody who speaks Spanish, you come up with the list of the phrases that you would be sending, like, send 20 items to this address, and then there'd be an address. You can get the Spanish, you could basically copy and paste it into your, you could use Skype, or you could use, you know, any of these, there's any number, Jabber, any kind of text, you know, texting application, and communicate with them that way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's similar to a fax. I mean, they'd see it in writing. It would keep a record of it. They could see if they missed something or whatever. And you get an acknowledgement back right away.
AOL Instant Messenger in addition to Skype.
Skype will do chat. Too. You set up Skype accounts for everybody, and then they can it can do chat instead of have you don't have to talk or do video.
Well, I mean, if everybody's already got a computer, why aren't we just sending emails? Why aren't we just subscribing to an online? Either scanning the fax when it comes into you, or the order that as it gets to you, and then sending it off via an email.
Okay.
What am I missing here?
The customers have the choice to email, which we do get a lot of emails, and I can manage that remotely or away.
Right, okay, so email works.
I can tell them to print it, and they can get that. The faxes, when it comes in, they've got to actually pull that off the printer and write it up, and it's an order.
There's some very inexpensive online fax services where somebody can fax it, and then the person on the computer would see it on the PC as text.
And who is that?
Just Google search online faxes, because you can actually get a phone number that people could dial and send a fax to, and then you just log into the website, and you see the fax.
Yeah.
There's dozens of services like that, but I wish you a lot of luck on that, running your business, trying to figure out a way to communicate with people. All right, Groovehouse?
Yes.
Who's up next?
All right, up next, we're going to take Carol.
Carol, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hi. my husband has asked me to find him a good battery backup for his computer. His computer... he uses for work, and the guy that sits at the station across with works with him has one that pull about 390 watts with the monitors that they use with the PC, and so he wants something that will let him work maybe for 30 minutes, something around that length of time if he has a power, but that wouldn't be too or longer depending on the cost, because I think as the amount of length of time goes up, the price goes up too.
So. Right. The more power, I mean, the basic principle behind a UPS or uninterruptible power supply is that if you lose power, the very basic models give you enough time to shut the computer down reasonably without it just popping off if the power goes out. But then beyond that, you pay more money, you'll get one that draws enough power to be able to run the computer for 20 minutes or 30 minutes, depending, what all's hooked up to it. APC is one of the bigger vendors on that.
That's right. Yeah, he said that's the best one to get. But how much is enough?
Here's what I would do, actually. If you go to APC.com, they've got a tool selector where you can actually go in. You tell it the computer type. You tell it the monitor type, the processor, how many hard drives you've got, the side voltage. Even if you've got a printer and you put all those things in there and then how long you want to go, and it'll tell you which model or how many VAs, like how many amps you're going to need to be able to push it for the length of time that you want to go.
Okay.
So, and even if you don't buy APC, that'll at least tell you, it'll give you like 3,000 VA or 4,500 VA. That will be the number that you might want to shop around with other, UPS vendors.
He uses two huge monitors with the PC.
Here's the thing. That's the monitors are going to be a really, really huge draw. And for the most part, like Jay said, UPSs are designed just to be able to give you enough time to save your work and power down. Those monitors are going to draw probably just as much power as the workstation, to where you're going to be spending a lot of money. Probably
the monitors are going to be
$750 bucks to stay online for half an hour. I mean, that's one of the things. It's like in an ideal world, you'd like to be able to stay on battery all day. But things draw, especially, you know, large monitors.
You can do it. You just have to buy, like, the huge battery systems that use in, like, server rooms,
very
server racks. They're really, really expensive.
Okay, so I guess I'll
try the tool and see at least if you can get, you know, it'll at least let you know to run one PC and maybe one monitor and to give you an idea of what kind of battery backup you're going to need to be able to do what you want to do and see if that's even reasonable. And then you go ahead and amp that up a little bit if you're trying to run two monitors.
It depends on what his goal is. I mean, the other thing he could do is he could go buy a super cheapy, you know, LCD 15, 16-inch monitor and keep that as a backup to where if the power ever goes out and needs to go onto that, he could swap out the two big monitors for the smaller battery, or for the smaller monitor, and get a lot more life out of that. You know, so he just wants to go into kind of emergency power conservation mode, you know, if he's ever faced with a situation where he's not going to have to be able to do that. But usually, I mean, if the power goes out in a building and everything, it's just better just to kind of ride it out rather than try and get 20 more minutes worth of work.
Good thing is he's probably not using CRT monitors anymore.
Yeah.
Which chewed way more power than LCD, LED.
Yeah, although big LED monitor will still pull a decent
amount. It will, but CRT
not
pulled
as
more.
Badly, yeah.
Well, like I said, the APC one that is attached to three monitors, it runs 390 watts, whatever that means. But if you unplug the monitors, then it goes way, way down because they do draw a lot of electricity.
Yep.
Okay, and one last question. If you have a server for the networking, does that need to be on a backup as well, or does that just shut
even down? More so than the workstation,
even
I would
more
say.
So?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what it's doing, but generally if you're doing server, I'm assuming you might be serving files or you might be, you know, holding up an internet connection or serving web pages, and usually that the servers need a much more graceful shutdown than a workstation will need, generally speaking.
Okay, so what type of, I guess, then you could just do the same thing?
Probably want to use a different, if you're trying to go on the cheap or, you know, without installing like a backup system or a generator for the whole office, and you probably want to look at another UPS for just that server machine.
Yeah. Okay.
And then look at what its specific needs are and hook it up to one of those.
To keep something in mind, there are a couple of APC that are priced, you know, around a few hundred dollars that will actually let you plug in additional battery units to it, to where you can just kind of line them up side by side, where if you need to expand, you can double the capacity with, you know, without having to get a second UPS. They're out there. But just do a little bit of reading and see what's out there. I usually buy UPSs based on price point because they're kind of, for the most part, commodity. And there's usually a sale somewhere. You know, just check all the papers and see if you can't get, you know, half off or something.
Okay.
But, yeah, to get that kind of longevity, you're going to be paying a lot more than you want to, I think.
Yeah. Okay, well, great. Thanks very much. I appreciate the ideas.
All right, well, thanks for your call.
Yep, sounds like you're having a quiet night. So I thought, well, this is just probably ideal for me to call in because...
It was perfect.
Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
All right,
bye-bye.
Thank you. All right, well, all the calls are coming in now, but we are out of time.
Where did our 2 hours go? Yeah.
Fireworks ended. I got a computer question, so... Well, we apologize for not getting to all the
Geek
calls
Gathering?
Tonight. The Geek Gathering is this Friday. Information is on the website. Please come out. Please, you know, it looks like we're going to have a really good turnout. So
support
we're really
your local
excited
geeks.
About it. It's our 17th anniversary. We're, you know, it's going to be a low-key
celebration.
It's the
award-winning Geek Gathering.
That's true, the award-winning Geek Gathering. The best meet-up anywhere ever. And
that's
we're
right.
hosting it.
That's
and
right.
you're invited. All right, well, thanks for tuning in to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Dwight. And he's
Groovehouse.
And we'll see you next week for more Technology Bites.
Doc, what's that blood draft coming up or whatever you're talking about?
Yes, that's the Gamma Epsilon Chi Sorority. We'll be hosting its first blood drive on August 5th from noon to 3 p.m.
You know, everyone should give blood. I mean, everyone. If you've ever been to the hospital, if you've ever seen anybody in a hospital, this country, we need to all go to blood drives.
It's a very precious gift. You're right, Phil. The Gulf Coast Regional Blood Center will have a donor bus parked on a lot at 1000 Bass Pro Drive in Pearland, Texas, 77047. All donors will receive coupons and more. Again, the Gamma Epsilon Chi Sorority hosts its first blood drive on Sunday, August 5th from noon to 3 p.m. at 1000 Bass Pro Drive in Pearland. This is KPFT 90.1 Houston, KPFT.org, Twitter.com/KPFT, Facebook.com/KPFT Houston.
Have you listened to KPFT in HD yet? KPFT has two additional programming channels available to owners of HD radios, and we stream both online. It's like getting several at once for free while actually being tuned in with an HD radio to 90.1. Hear what you're listening to now on HD1. KTRU Rice Radio now airs on KPFT HD2. Our HD3 programming stream includes some of our most popular programs, including Democracy Now!, Uprising, Explorations, BBC News, Free Speech Radio News, and Alternative Radio. In addition, you can hear shows like Counterspin, Flashpoints, and other great programs. Visit kpft.org for a guide on HD radio and our full schedule of HD programming. You can also click the streaming link to hear our HD programming via the web. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, 90.1.